Let's Talk Business with Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, BCCI. Welcome as we hear the perspectives of various subject matter experts and stay up to date on the challenges and solutions around emerging and current trends in business, policies, trade, and more. Let's Talk Business is brought to you by Yellow.
So this is part two of 21st Century Skills, Building for a More Productive Economy. And on today's Let's Talk Business with the BCCI, we welcome again Mr. Paul Innes, Executive Vice President and General Manager of Sagicor Life Incorporated, and Dr. Dion Greenidge, Senior Lecturer in Management Studies at the Sagicor Cave Hill School of Business and Management. Welcome again.
Thank you, Carol.
So let's do quickly. I don't know who wants to do this really quickly for me. Actually, I'm going to throw that out to Dr. Greenidge. What do you mean by 21st century skills before we continue this part two?
In a nutshell, you know, these are the skills that we believe ensure sustainability and of businesses, sustainability in terms of what are, you know, performance outcomes for organizations, and critical to ensure that persons are able to contribute meaningfully and productively to organizations or to their own endeavor, you know, because it's not just the organizations, but what are the skills that are going to make you relevant for the future, whether it be your own business, whether it be nonprofit or for-profit organization. And we would have indicated previously that some of these skills are going to be related to the digital environment. Having digital skills with the digital environment, competencies that relate to leadership, overall organizational leadership, and being able to have an eye for strategy execution, agility, being able to be agile and responsive to what's going on and innovative. We recognize some of these skills will be digital in terms of data now. So they have the digital platform, so we're talking about data usage and data analytics and being able to make decisions, AI and intelligence, whether it be business intelligence or market intelligence, which are related concepts. So we saw it from that perspective. And then also we said the leadership of organization, the overall leadership will be critical. I always say leadership matters. And that's what guides organizations from the day-to-day decision processes and the strategy execution of that organization to achieve the goals and objectives and be more efficient and effective.
So are these 21st century skills, are they the same thing as soft skills? We hear a lot about that recently.
So I would say soft skills is part of the package. Or soft skills are not the only skills required for the 21st century. So Dion would have articulated on several other skills that are required, whether it is at the leadership level, managerial level, supervisory level, or non-management supervisory leadership levels, right? So I think there are a combination of skills that are required. There are academic skills that are required, some basic academic requirements. There are some people skills that are required. There are also some technical skills, depending on the nature of the job or the function or the pursuit, whether it's for-profit or non-profit. So I would summarize it that way, Dion.
I mean, you said exactly what I was going to say, that, you know, it's part of the package of the overall makeup of the individual who's going to come to the organization. That person who you want to have that business acumen that will allow the organization to derive results. So soft skills are always going to be necessary because you have to be able to negotiate, you have to be able to present your concepts and for persons to be able to understand what you're saying and buy into those concepts and to have, you know, level of emotional intelligence, the emotional intelligence to understand your emotions and that of persons around you so that you can respond effectively and communicate effectively. But those are also very fabric, a very part of leadership. So you see that they are complementary. And if they're not there, you know, would a person be able to sit down? Because remember, some of the, and like team working, some jobs or some persons might be able, especially the gig economy, might be able to do things on their own, but they still may need to communicate effectively in writing, whether they from behind the screen, for example. So the soft skills are going to be important for what you do, even if you have the technical skills. But you cannot do it without the technical skills, and you can't really be as effective as you might want to be without the soft skills.
What do you say to a person listening the last show and this one? It's intimidating for many from an academic point of view. Sometimes they know they have the skills, as in they have the experience, I should say, to do certain jobs. But then they see the academic qualifications that are required. And now on top of that, You are asking for emotional intelligence, the ability to problem solve, collaboration, awareness of just about so many things going on. To the person who's thinking, my goodness, you want the perfect employee. What do you say to them?
So I would start from the commercial side of things. I would say the acquisition of skills, whether academic or non-academic, are acquired over time. And I think for every job, there's some basic requirements that should be had, right? You will find that in commerce, I don't think anyone looks for the perfect candidate per se. And there might be some people who look for the perfect candidate, but there's never a perfect candidate because invariably, unless you would have reached probably 40, 50, 60, you may have acquired over time all the skills and experiences required for a particular job. And there are jobs that will require that you actually meet 90, 95% of the skill set. But for those younger persons who have the academic basics, but they don't necessarily have all of the broader set of skills and competencies required, I don't think that they should be turned off by this conversation. Actually, this is a good conversation to be heard because it should help everyone understand where they probably are in the journey of life and acquiring the different skills that are required to make them the optimal professional or person that they want to be, right? So I think this conversation should help in informing the mind around what is required to really be, I would say, productive. And I will go a step further. I think we should strive not only to be productive, but I think we should strive to be the best that we can be and become world-class, not Barbadian or Caribbean standards only, but we become world-class so that we become more attractive. Our skills, our knowledge, our ability to perform actually attract global demands.
Based on what you're seeing, what's the gap between the skills people learn and what they actually need in today's workplace?
Wow, that is a very good question, Carol. I don't know if we can give a direct answer in terms of the gap, but you know, continuous development is necessary. And I think we have to recognize that, you know, the business environment, because of many of the factors maintained within the business environment, recent times, more dynamic. We're more connected globally. The impacts from the global business environment, for example, in the Barbados business environment, is great. We don't operate in closed systems. We are part of open systems. So what does that mean? It means that we always have to retool and upskill and be relevant. So what persons must then see is that have an attitude or aptitude towards being a lifelong learner, looking for that continuous development. And you may want to do it as well in a strategic way as well, you know, maybe to your immediate job, to your immediate working environment, because I like to always say beyond your job, because organizations should be strategically looking at engaging and hiring and retaining employees who are fit for purpose and who are ensuring that fit for purpose. And they have a role, and organizations do have a role from a sustainable perspective in that as well, of ensuring that their employees are fit for purpose. But to have that look, that continuous evaluation of what I want to do, where I need to be to make that contribution here, but also see it from a network perspective to the futuristic, because some person may want to now look at their career development. They may want to transition into another career. I may want to transition into another career, not necessarily outside of the organization, but I may want to move up in that organization. I may want to move into another aspect of the works of that organization. So it is about being that constant lifelong learner, that looking continuously how one can develop a skill, him or herself, and, you know, that continuous looking at the landscape. And this is what I'm going to add to that. What does that mean? That means that when we think of systems thinking, because organizations have to think of systems thinking, we are not often enough speaking to our employees or sharing or having that system thinking perspective of our employees, meaning our employees understanding all the connectivities of the business. And why is that critical and important? Because then that allows our employees now to be able to bring and share with us some of those upskilling opportunities, because sometimes the employee may recognize, you know what, the organization may need to start to look at disruptive thinking and disruptive designs, for example, as we look at how we go about our product development and so on as a strategy and a process. Well, and you may say, I want to go on this course because it will be useful for what we are doing in the organization to take us to the next level. So my perspective is, being a lifelong learner, teaching our employees how to systems think so they understand the business, to understand where things are going. They're always looking, they're being adapted, they're evaluating, their critical thinking. And once we are able to do that collectively, then I think we can stay as relevant as possible and keep with the times and how things are changing.
Carol, what I would add to what Dion shared is that I would have said in the last discussion that I think organizations have a responsibility to the teams, the persons that work with them, work for them, in as much as the person also has a responsibility to get on the continued or continuous learning development scheme. I've always approached life in that way because I recognize that achieving a certification or some sort of academic achievement at a particular time, when I look at others older than me, when I was much younger, clearly demonstrated that what you learned 20 years ago may be of no relevance nowadays, sometimes within 6 months, right, to a year. So there's this constant changing environment that we work in. It is much more dynamic now than when I came into business in the 80s. So there are a number of companies, I'm sure, within Barbados and the region that have created and developed programs to support the continuous training and development of their people as they assess them and realize that there are gaps in the skills that are required for the future, because in the private sector, for sure, we plan ahead. So we know where we want to go within a time horizon, and we have to ensure that we have the competencies within the organization to actually meet the needs and the demands for the future. So, for example, I can speak to Sagicorp. Within the last 2 years, we developed a lead management training program where we have identified, and it is not only identification from the organizational perspective, but we have staff that would approach us about career opportunities or discuss with us where they would like to go in the organization. And we've developed a program that would take them through a two-year rotation orientation within the organization to get to provide them with the opportunity to be exposed to other areas in the organization, to ensure that where they see their future is in sync with really what they love. Because as you know, I can say today I want to be a painter and then realize within 6 months that painting doesn't necessarily suit me, right? I probably should be a plumber. So that program, in a real sense, give our people who are in that program the opportunity to really test, but also acquire the necessary skills and the exposure. It actually helps a lot of them mature and understand, as Dion said earlier, the wider spectrum of what we do here as an organization. So things like that are very critical and important if we want to equip our people to have the necessary skills for the 21st century.
I have a question. You talked about Sagicorp and the importance of, you know, assisting employees and team members in moving forward, or they come to you, they give you an idea of what they want to do, and you've actually created a program. But tell me, because this is about leadership, clearly, how do you, companies like Sagicorp and other companies who have the mindset of, yes, we need to invest in our employees, yes, we see this as important for the company overall. How do you help to bring along other companies or leaders who may not be there yet? They kind of see the importance of it, but they're thinking, well, if you want to learn, then you go and learn on your own. How do you bring them along so that they can at least help to support their employees in, you know, coming up?
Well, Carol, you know, I'll start with saying sessions like this, but also from our point of view at the business school, because I think we at the business school, we have a role to play, and we are very eager to play such a role in how we become thought leaders, how we are able to engage organizations to help those organizations improve their overall processes. And that comes about how they go about training, developing, and managing their employees, you know, having that senior leadership, C-level executives attending to collectively to leadership training programs of their peers, where they're not only just learning from the facilitators in terms of the academic thought process and even some of the practical or simulated elements, but they're also learning from each other in terms of what are some of the best practices that we have in our environment that is making our organization successful and that we can replicate in order to ensure that our overall environment is sustainable. And so, you know, that is, again, having those opportunities. And at the business school, we are providing such opportunities where it is our executive leadership programs, which really focus on those pillars of sustainability and strategy and leadership and change management and change leadership and strategy implementation and execution, so that, you know, persons can go back and enhance what they're doing for their organization. So from that perspective, because leaders need training too, they need to be able to retool and to sharpen their pencil, so to speak, in terms of what they are doing to improve their business environment or the organization environment, so it's more productive and there's higher levels of performance.
Once you've acquired the knowledge, really literal, once you've acquired this knowledge, or you, over time, obviously it's not everything you learn at one sitting or in one class or one course, how do you then take people from the classroom to implementing those skills in the workplace?
You're asking some very, very good questions, Gerald. Now, you know, that is truly the process of what we do. We are about ensuring that it's, and that's why I said earlier, transferability. So it's about competency development. So it's not only about coming and acquiring knowledge, but it's about building a competency or skill. And therefore, what is about having action plans where persons are continuously looking at how they can improve their leadership competencies and skills and their skills in other critical areas. So it's not just about the knowledge, but what we do, that's why I say simulation and looking at cases and critically dissecting how you would have approached the situation, etc. You know, these are the kind of things that we do in our programming. Well, not just our exact, we do generally in our programming, but at this case, because we recognize it's not just providing knowledge of concept, but it's to get persons to see how they out applying those concepts within the organization, how to apply it, how to utilize it to bring about the kind of change that would be desirable for the organization. So that is the approach. So not just knowledge, but building up those what we call transferable skills from what we do, that go back to the organization, implement that plan. So action-oriented training and development.
And Carol, what I would add to that is that I think the internship programs where we target and partner with, whether it's the university, secondary schools, or the community college, any learning institution, I think internship programs is a critical tool, an opportunity for us to help students, especially full-time students, cross that bridge in terms of how do they move from the theoretical academic spectrum to implementing in a practical sense what they've learned, or practice and experiment what they have learned within companies in Barbados, right? I think from a country perspective, and this is a matter I've discussed with Dion, is that we need to build out in Barbados, we need to build out not sporadic and selective internship programs where only a limited number of people are exposed to the work environment. But for example, if commerce and industry, and through the sponsorship of the BCCI, can engage with a wide spectrum of entities, and we provide university students and college students, more of them, some real-life opportunities to actually practice and engage in meaningful work through internship programs on a sustained basis, and is structured to actually be sustained without time end, right? And in that way, I think if we can match that, if we can make that reality in Barbados, I think that will help with the more productive economy that we're seeking to build out, because we'll be able to close the gap in a much shorter time frame than it taking for someone to leave an educational environment, try to find a job, and then, you know, try to acclimatize within an organization and then deliver. Yeah.
Okay. This is probably going to be the last question, because I suspect we might have a little bit of a discussion on this one. So this program, the topic, 21st century skill building for a more productive economy. Let's discuss 21st century skills and the external customer or client. So how can companies measure the use of these skills and customer satisfaction? Because when you ask for all of these skills and you're thinking about your product or service, you're also, I would believe, you'd be considering your external client and whether this actually works and if it's helping you to grow your business or get more customers. Talk to me about that.
I don't know if Paul wants to start because he's actually in industry, but I'll start by saying exactly what you said, Carol. You know, the reality is that when we look at what are those KPIs or customer satisfaction, which is going to be tied to the quality of service that you provide and so on, but your products, the innovation and the development of your products being fit for use by individuals and you being able to be innovative as an organization as well is going to ensure you're going to be competitive. And that in itself is going to drive satisfaction of the customers and is going to ensure retention of those customers and those customers' intention to repurchase products and services from you and have that intention to do that rather than going to another supplier. Therefore, there's a direct connection. I think Paul mentioned earlier, your organization must play that role in ensuring that they will develop the skills, but this is a significant and an important HR function for the organization as well. Leadership, from HR leadership role, leadership from the overarching strategy of the organization, because they must match. The strategy organization must work in sync with the HR strategy. And then the execution of that strategy must be then how we go about, and that may be how you go about training and developing your employees, or how you even go about recruiting and selecting employees for that organization. And what is going to be critical there then? The competencies that individuals have. The competencies that they have to be able to allow the organization to achieve that overarching goal. So the KPIs being the satisfaction and they add their other aspects where persons are coming back to buy for the organization, increase sales and improve sales, whether it be of those products or services. It means therefore that we must take an important look in terms of HR planning. What are the skills we have currently? What are the skills we're going to need, right? 3-5 years down the line, in order to ensure that we can achieve our overall organizational strategy. And that is always going to be, if it's customer focus, ensuring that you're driving performance, ensuring if customers are happy. Because if your customers are not happy and your products are defective, your products are not fit for purpose, and you're not responding in a timely manner to your markets, you're going to lose market share. And it could be to products or services.
I would add that there are a number of companies that perform market assessments through market surveys and receive feedback. So, for example, here at Sagicor, we do it on a quarterly basis where we engage with our customers directly and get their feedback on how they were served and the quality of service and so forth. To tie that with performance and the gaps, so our teams would have appraisals, performance goals that they need to meet. And actually, once we survey our customer base and the market, there's a link between the two. So the market feedback is linked to the organizational goals and objectives. And those are also linked to the deliverables or the goals that our team members have to actually pursue and deliver on, right? So that is the connection, Carol, in terms of how we actually assess the performance of an employee against the market, what the market perceives and how they receive goods and services and the engagement of the company, and then how our people actually perform to deliver on the company goals and objectives.
Well, thank you very much. We have come to the end of part two of 21st Century Skill Building for a More Productive Economy. And the guest today, Mr. Paul Innes, Executive Vice President and General Manager of Sagicor Life Incorporated, and Dr. Dion Greenidge, Senior Lecturer in Management Studies, Sagicor Cave Hill School of Business and Management. Another very enlightening conversation. Thank you, gentlemen.
You're most welcome, Carol. Thank you.
That's it for another edition of Let's Talk Business with Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, BCCI. Join us again next time as we hear the perspectives of various subject matter experts and stay up to date on the challenges and solutions around emerging and current trends in business, policies, trade, and more. Let's Talk Business is brought to you by Yellow.